Dear Lord, we just thank you for today. Thank you for this morning, and thank you for the information we can review and the biblical context we can review. And we just know that all information, unless it's illuminated by the Holy Spirit, is just vanity. And we just ask that your word and your truth would be present and come forth. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's just cut to the chase. This is what I'm going to do in here. We're going to cover three topics. What does the Bible say? We're going to look at it exclusively from a biblical perspective first. And we're going to say, what does the Bible say about aliens? And to define aliens, I'm saying an alien is a evolved extraterrestrial being, meaning it's evolved from the planets, which is sort of what our culture and our education, secular education system would think. So that is what we're going to look at first. The second thing we're going to do, we're going to go through a movie. It's called, because they're going to be able to do it better than I, it's called Unmasking a Deception, Alien Intrusion. It's based upon a book from a Christian ministry that came out. The book came out about more than 10 years ago, but the movie came out about 5 years ago, and we'll do that part of the movie. We're going to only do 35 minutes of it because we don't have time to do the whole thing. We'll do that, and then third, we're going to go through the takeaways. So, with that, let's just go a little bit of background before we go into part one. The other thing, I'm using this quote here: the don't expect any help from the government because they're usually not here to help. And so, I like this quote. I don't like the book, but I like this quote. In any case, I believe the evidence is quite strong that elements of the U.S. government and the government of other nations have been doing all they can to implant the idea of the reality of UFOs as extraterrestrial spacecraft in the public mind while simultaneously debunking this belief. And so the government, you really don't depend on that for truth. We're going to go first to scripture. So, and also the background, why are we teaching this topic? It's really, well, Bob Hartman suggested it, but it's really, I teach a creation course with two other gentlemen, Trevor Speck and Eric Smith, a 14-week course, and we added this topic of aliens about 4 or 5 years ago because it's bubbling up in culture. It's bubbling up, in where we are. It's in the news. It's in the media. And the whole topic is sort of a natural extension of evolutionary thought, which is probably why it's bubbling up. It's a natural extension of that, and so we want to have a biblical approach to it. How can you explain it biblically? So that's the background, how we ended up teaching this course on aliens. And feel free to interrupt me while I'm going. If there's a burning question, I have a bunch at the end, but I think we'll cover most of those. So let's jump into it. What does the Bible say about aliens? Well, you know, it's not going to explicitly say anything about aliens, but it may imply or may insinuate certain things about them. And so let's just look at the context. If we're talking about, again, extraterrestrial evolved entities or beings in the creation week, they would have started somewhere around day four. That's when God created the sun, moon, and the stars, right? So that's the creation week. They're part of creation if you're believing the secular view. And what does the Bible say about that? Here's the fourth day, and God said, let there be light in the expanse of heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons. I'm just going to emphasize the yellow, for days and years, to give light, to rule the day, to rule the night, to give light, to rule, to separate. So you look at that, and the function of the stars, the sun, moon, and the stars, is given pretty clearly, basically 10 times. He gives the word two or four. Those are what you call a preposition, which they define function, and it's for all those things there. He gave it to basically help them create calendars and times and events. That was the main function. If there was to be alien life growing out there, I think he probably would have put it in there. This is a definition of right from when God created the stars. That's a preposition, uses a function word to indicate purpose, intention, and tendency. The heavens also declare the glory of God. That's an adjective. It just by nature of who created the heavens, they do that also. So there's also another problem biblically with the extraterrestrial evolved life. And that's if you think at day four and you look at Romans 8:20, it says, against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse, but with the eager hope. So if there are aliens out there, extraterrestrial, I'm not agreeing with that, but if there are, they're part of creation from day four, they would be fallen creatures. They would not be something you would trust. And they also have no hope, because look at the scope of Scripture. You look at 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ died for sins once for all. Christ died, he says he died once. He's not going to go die on all the other planets out there. And he died for the sins once for all. And in the context of that, he came as a man because that's who he's saving. He's not going to go die as an alien. He's just not, it doesn't leave any aperture for that. So aliens, if there really were such things, they just don't fit. There's just no place to squeeze them in. And then also, at the close, at the end of the millennial reign, here it says, behold, the temple of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. So basically at the end, he's got to stand with man. He's not going to be staying with anybody else. It's really, he died for us. He paid the penalty for us. And we're actually very privileged to be in that position. And so just looking at the scope of Scripture from a strictly biblical perspective, although the Bible doesn't state it directly, the absence of intelligent alien extraterrestrial life is inferred. It just doesn't fit. It's just incongruent with Scripture. And aliens are inconsistent with biblical inclination and theology. So that's a problem. We know there's weird stuff happening out there, right? And so that's where we're going to go with part two, this movie. They can do it better than I can because it's a Christian, it's a documentary. The other option is that, and there's a lot of temptation, especially in our culture, to say, well, you know, the Scripture just is not relevant. It's allegory, and so therefore, you know, there really could be evolved life out there. And there's great danger in that approach. You know, Jesus, we'll get to it more, but Jesus said, you know, Scripture cannot be broken. He said, God's word is truth. That's John 10, and so. There's a problem trying to squeeze in, you know, allegory into the Bible. So with that, we're going to go to the movie. As I mentioned, this is a movie by Christian creation ministry. Same thing, because they're concerned about the issue of evolution. Gary Bates came out about 5 years ago. I purchased the showing rights so I can show it to a large amount of people, but we don't have enough time to do the whole thing. So I'll tell you how you can have access to that. So, but first let's just go ahead and start this. We're going to do about 35 minutes, and the reason I do this is because they can do it much better than me, and they have interviews and documentary in here. And I'm going to cut it quite a bit. So we did the movie. And these are the takeaways. I'll go through these if there's other questions. But a lot of these takeaways came from basically from teaching this class, this creation class, and they're basically some of the questions that came up through there. So if you have other questions that don't line in here, you know, feel free to ask. So, but the first one, what opens doors and makes ones vulnerable to these type experiences? Any other comments?
Dabbling with things you shouldn't be dabbling with.
Exactly. A lot of the items that is like people playing with Ouija boards. You can be basically get really involved into the sci-fi, the fiction, you know. I like sci-fi too, but it's sort of like mind candy. Also, it could be other things that can open doors is like New Age. Big draw in our culture is New Age. That is a big draw to people because it's sort of interesting, it's mystical, there's entities out there and you can learn information, but it's basically you're dabbling in something. It's all throughout the scriptures. It says don't go into that stuff. Go back, go look in Leviticus, and it says don't go talk to the dead, don't go looking into the mystical realm, don't go to people that will give you prophecies, mystical prophecies, don't do that. And so that opens doors, getting into it. Also, drugs, extensive drug use is also a open door. Not always, but I've heard enough about it. And then also, yes?
The Heaven's Gate cult, the two founders of the Heaven's Gate cult were very involved with very hard drugs.
Oh, totally.
And they have this mystical realization when they took a bunch of drugs and thought that they were the two the two in Revelation who were going to come and bring the message of Christ coming.
Yep, it's pharmakia. If there's a great book called Pharmakia, A Biblical Perspective on Drugs, and it does. It opens doors. Yes, sir?
I just wrote a comment. I agree with what you're saying. And for a Christian to be spending hours in this other stuff, would it be better spent in the Word?
Along those lines, there's amongst intellectuals, I've heard there's this temptation of hidden knowledge. Finding something to talk about in books that are not the Bible. And it's sufficient. The Word is
sufficient, absolutely. That's sort of why the highlight at the bottom. That's where our focus is going to go. How about this other one? Why is there such power in the name of Jesus? Is it just something in Christianity? Are we just breathing our own air? And no, we're not. But if you look at Scripture, it says, now is the judgment of the world, now shall the prince of the world be cast out. This is when Christ was going to the cross, when Satan was about to be, we don't understand everything, but there was somebody was relieved for cause. And that was Satan. You notice he was called a prince. Princes don't get there by volition. You're basically appointed. Well, he was being relieved by Jesus, kicked out because he'd gone rogue. And Jesus basically went down. Jesse talked about it. He preached victory down there, freed the captives. If you look at him in Revelation, he has, what does he have with him? Two keys, the keys to hell and the key to death. And so he basically took those probably from the underworld. So not only that, you can see in Ephesians, he says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet. And the underworld, the spiritual world, knows it. They probably know it better than most people walking around do, that they know Jesus is the King. Also, Philippians, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So that's why the name of Jesus has the power, and as a Christian you've got a tremendous benefit. One other thing I'll say about this, what about other religions, Islam? Do they have the same issue? And you can use this sort of as a proof text. Are we just breathing our own air? Is it just a Christian thing? And if you have Muslim acquaintances, there's actually a chapter in the Quran, chapter 72 or 74. It's called the jinn. And what the jinn is basically the genie in the bottle. That's where it comes from. And they basically have the same problem. They're demon infested also. And I first saw this in a podcast. Al Fadi, anybody ever heard of Al Fadi? He actually spoke here about 6 years ago. Michael Connor had him. He's a converted Muslim. But basically, he talks about it in one of his podcasts, that Christian missionaries to Muslim countries often, well, in his experience, they were called to go to Muslim houses that had demonic problems. Mm-hmm. And they asked Christians to pray. And it actually had much more results than calling in the name of Muhammad or doing a, or having an imam come, or using a, Muslim prayer, much to the Muslim shock. And so these are all conversions that basically Muslims find out about it, that the name of Jesus, not the Jesus they have in the Quran, but the divine Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, that has an incredible effect. And so it's not just a Christian thing, it's global. There's Muslims, or there's Buddhists have had the same experience, and Hindus. So it should be no surprise if you believe the scriptures, because Jesus is the Messiah. He's the creator of the world. So why is all this happening now? And so, you know, there's a whole host of stuff. We don't really know why. Some people think it's end times deception. Yes, sir?
I have a theory as to why it's happening now. I think that the rationalist view of the world is starting to kind of run out of steam. And some of the things you see, we saw today on the screen, real people who have really studied this issue, who have a scientific background, coming to the conclusion that this is something supernatural, which has been unthinkable a few decades ago. No serious scientist would ever conclude such a thing. I mean, they would lose everything, right? But now, we've reached a point where those explanations simply don't work anymore. And in an odd way, this might indicate a willingness of people to listen to the message of the gospel, because they're more prepared to accept a supernatural explanation for the creation we live in.
Yes, yes, sir.
And just to add to what a gentleman just said, scientists have been trained. I mean, these are MIT, Caltech people. Measurements and observation. And we know that they're supernatural. And it's that simple.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree with that. And that's sort of my theory, too, is, you know, still, there's still a whole lot of people in our culture that have bought into evolution, and I think it's running out of steam. So maybe now Satan is putting all his cards on the table to get as many people deceived as he can, because they're running out of time. So, any other thoughts on that? Yes,
Jim, I'd like to quickly postulate that it's been happening for thousands of years. We live in a world now that communication has tied us together, and we're able to talk and see and number of things. So it may be happening more now. It's hard to say, but I'm a little bit on the ice on the side to say this has been happening for a very long time, as it's written in scripture all the way back from the beginning.
Yes, and I cut parts of the movie out, and it does go into that. It's been going back, you know, in the Middle Ages. It was fairies and little people, and all kinds of stuff. So you're right. Yes?
Is there anything new that came out of the most recent congressional hearings?
You know, I've got a link in here to Gary Bates, who did an update after the congressional hearings. You know, they talked about biologics, and he's just like, That's classic government to just say there's biologics, non-human. So could be horse biologics or frog it's just classic government. Yes, I have 40 years in government, but it's just classic government to just throw something out there that just keeps you off sides and off balance, and more people just sort of deceived, frankly. So here's a question we get is, how many have really had this experience? So they ask us in the class, how many people have you known that have had alien abductions? And I'll just say, nobody in our classes have had alien abductions. However, we have had people that say they were into New Age and had weird things happening. A lot of times they didn't like to talk about it because it's personal. Had people with sleep paralysis with a dark presence, you know. And by the way, Satan doesn't play by the rules. Maybe you haven't broken any rules, but he can mess with you. You know, just by nature, he doesn't follow the rules. So we've had people with sleep paralysis. We had one Latino family that had a history of in their generations going back. They had been visited by little people, and they were just confused what they could be. And so it's demonic, and that's part of the movie that I didn't have a chance to show. So that's what I'll say. But no, I haven't met any. Anybody here met any abductees? So, okay, yeah, so I don't, there does seem to be thousands of people, but yes, ma'am.
growing up, I didn't know anything about it, so I went into people who really hands,
yes,
like that.
Yes.
People who consult the dead. When I came to Christ, I mean, I had a battle for many years. So I tell anyone, be aware of that.
Yes.
Be away from anything like that.
Yes.
So I did have some experience. Not like seeing something like that, but persecution.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. There's a lot of stories like that out there.
Waking up at night, feeling like your bed fall down, things like that, or standing up and seeing some dark figure right there behind you.
Yes, that's actually very, like that. not as uncommon as you think. You're right. Yes.
Praise God, you know, just claim the claim that you belong to Him.
Amen.
You use the word, or the term, sleep paralysis. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Sleep paralysis is when you go to sleep, your body just to relax, it just, you don't move, usually you don't move. Well, my wife says I move around when I sleep, but your body, it does it, it's a function to help you sleep. But also, what that woman is saying also is that that's also a key time for Satan to try and mess with you. So I often wonder if that's why some of the Psalm says, spare me from the dark arrows at night. That's the way it happens to a lot of people is when they're asleep and they notice and they can't move and there's a dark presence. So I have heard that before. Yes. Yes, ma'am. High what? I don't know. It could be. Yes, sir.
I've heard missionaries in certain parts of the world have seen things, and this is even back in the 60s, right? Have seen things that they said we cannot explain. These people in the tribe or whatever walking on hot coals. So I would suggest it's probably super demonic activity with a large group of people or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that. I've heard. I took a bunch of Boy Scouts to the Philmont Scout Ranch, and there's a plateau. They said, "Hey, there's all kinds of Indian burial grounds up there, and people have had bad experiences." And all my guys wanted to go up there. I said, "No, we're not going to go up there." But you're bringing back memories. So, we're running out of time, but couple more. Theft is involved in this topic. I don't recommend this book, but this is a good quote. The fascination we feel for them is something they are is not something they're giving us. It is something we are giving them, something they are stealing from us. If today's alien shows many similarities to traditional vampires, because both of them steal our blood, our life energy, which is the most fundamental sense, is nothing other than the spiritual attention we owe to God as the source of our life. As the adulterous affair destroys marriage by diverting erotic energy, so the alien and the entity destroy our relationship to God by diverting spiritual energy. And that is the cautionary note, is that, you let your mind go to mind candy and to, mystical stuff. It's stealing. And remember, God is a jealous God, and He knows when you're not giving Him your attention and your focus. He knows it. And you have a personal relationship with the Lord, assuming you're a Christian, and it's a real relationship, and God knows it. What else? This comes from our creation class. This is the whole danger of evolution. Whoever controls your past controls the future. Who controls the present controls the past. And then there's a Adam Weisfeld, "Oh, mortal man, is there anything you cannot be made to believe?" That's the problem with our humanity. We're very programmable. "Of all the means I know to lead men, the most effectual is a concealed mystery. The hankering of the mind is irresistible." And so the corollary to this is Romans 12:2. "Do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind." You do that through the scripture. And Jesus said, scripture can't be broken. And you just need to rely on the scripture as truth. takeaways. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's sort of creepy. While you're reading the Scripture is reading you, and it should be alive to you. That's the way it says right there. It should be alive to you. If it's not, you need to ask yourself, why not? But He does speak to you. That's His primary method of getting back to us, is His Word. And then this is Proverbs 30. Every word of God proves true. He's a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His Word, lest He rebuke you and you be found a liar. So in closing, I'm a visual guy, so I think in terms of cartoons. So see, Frank, keep the light in their eyes and you can bag them without any trouble at all. So be careful what you expose yourself to. And yes?
Could you give us the name of the movie again?
It's called Alien. Actually, I forgot to do this. It's called Alien Intrusion. One more cartoon, and then I forgot to do this here. And this is a real takeaway. Lord, speak to me. He's giving me His Word. You don't need to go into mystical stuff. It's all right there. So. And then resources, if you want, there's my email at the bottom, a link if you wanted to watch the movie or stream it. You asked about an update, somebody asked about an update. That second link is when they gave an update on this movie. Or you can email me. And then also, you know, I bought the movie rights, or I bought the showing rights to this for an audience, but it says, please try and show it to the full audience. So I bought these really cheaply at bulk. If you want a DVD, I don't know how many people don't have, So if you want to watch a DVD, please take one of these. You can watch the whole movie. Or if you don't have a DVD player, you can stream it from here. So, and then the last slide. In the fullness of time, you're just going to see the UFOs in the dumpster diver. You know, the dumpster. That's where it's going to end.
Right?
What's that?
That's your vehicle.
Oh yeah, No, I don't think so.
An inspection.
So let me go ahead and close it in prayer real quick. Dear Lord, we just thank You for today. We thank You for just the opportunity to look at observational data, look at Your Word, compare them, and to realize Your Word is truth, and we can rely on it, and that we just pull close to You, and You speak to us. In Jesus' name, amen.